to Church Online. I think this is our 15th week to be doing this. And I don't know about you, but I am so tired of all of this. But as you know, and that we have been saying that we are going to be responsible and wise and love our neighbors the best we can. And with numbers rising in Houston, we are going to continue to watch everything and make the best decisions. And right now, this is the best decision for our church and our family that gathers here in this church building. So again, please know that I very much look forward to the day where we can all sit in this room again. I would like to wish a very warm Father's Day to everyone out there, all you dads who are watching, or those who have dads that you'll be connecting with, calling later today. And like any holiday, there are complications and a lot of feelings around holidays. And so wherever you are on Father's Day, please know that we honor that and that we see that and are especially mindful of that, specifically in the middle of a pandemic where maybe you cannot get to or see your dad right now, or you have lost your dad, or there is strain in that relationship, or you're a dad and maybe your child is no longer with you to be able to celebrate. So again, we honor all of those places and are grateful for a Heavenly Father who fits both mother and father parent roles for us that we are going to talk about and worship and celebrate this morning. So on this 15th week of not gathering in here, we're going to light a candle here in a minute, symbolizing us and the Holy Spirit in this place and this room. And I, for one, am so glad that you are here with us. So welcome to Southwest Central this morning, family.
Our psalm this morning comes from Psalm 86. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Let's sing about that.
Good morning, church. Today we're going to sing, "We Praise Thee, O God, and We Are the Body of Christ." We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Alleluia, find the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, find the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Alleluia, find the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, find the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Alleluia, find the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, find the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Alleluia, find the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, find the glory. Revive us again. One heart, One spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ.
All right, those of you with children, roots age, or elementary age, did not receive a Leaves bulletin in the mail this week because I switched things up and preached Acts chapter 2 this week instead of last week. So the one that you have last week, you were welcome to pull that back out and look through it again, especially some stuff on the back of the bulletin, because we'll go into some very specific things during this sermon right now. So I will send out additional ones for parents for you to use this upcoming week. Would you pray with me, please? Oh God, by your grace and your mercy, would you pour through me the gift of preaching? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. Last week, I introduced Acts as the new series we're engaging in over the next several months. For expanded reasons behind that, I invite you to go back to last week's sermon and listen to that. You can find that on this Facebook page. You can find that on our church website if you want to listen to it that way. In miniature, however, we started asking, with so many unknowns and alarm bells whirling around us, what the current landscape of things might mean for the church at large and for our congregation in particular. We've asked the book of Acts to be our guide as we consider the present future of God's church. We're at the end of Acts chapter 2 this morning if you want to follow along in your Bibles. When we last preached a specific text in Acts a few Sundays ago on Pentecost, Peter had just preached the sermon of his life in chapter 2. The audience, upon his conclusion, asked him, "We hear you. What do we do now?" Peter responds this way, "Turn your life around, be baptized, receive forgiveness, and receive the Holy Spirit." 3,000 or so persons respond, getting baptized right then and there. While baptism in general was not unfamiliar to the Jewish population then, the Spirit of God moved people in a new way, drawing them to the pools or the streams, and set the name of Jesus upon their heads as water dripped down upon their faces. repentance from that which brings death, and the grace that so eagerly pursues each and every one of us, met in beautiful harmony in those waters. Today being Father's Day, I think about my own dad, and I think about him baptizing 16-year-old me in 1997, just a couple of days after Thanksgiving. We were at the Johnson Street Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. My grandparents had a set of keys to the building, and just my family was present for that. I also think of Betty Linder's story, which she told before a live audience on January 12th, just this year. Betty was baptized in 1935 in a small creek near her church building in the thriving metropolis of Smackover, Arkansas. She walked down the aisle first, and her dad stepped out behind her, followed her down the aisle. They were baptized together. I love that. I remember some of your baptisms. I remember Ellery's. I remember Keyshawn's and Sharita's. I remember Stu's. I remember more. If baptism is not yet a part of your story, it can be, even during this time of social distancing. You can contact me and we'll figure out some way to get that done. All of our individual baptism stories, from San Angelo, Texas, to Smackover, Arkansas, to wherever yours happened or will happen, come together because of the Holy Spirit into one collective baptismal story that we call the church. The name of Jesus has been set upon us, a grace rendered unto us to live free and unashamed and holy. Luke, the writer of Acts, wants to make sure that the baptized church knows that the fiery Pentecost event is not like the brief flare-ups of religious frenzy or faith revivals that many of us have seen come and go. The Spirit of God is in this for the long haul, and so is the church. One can only live at a spiritual high for so long before they run out of air. So what does the very first church do next? How do they embody the zeal that will sustain them, that will abide in them? Where does their collective baptism lead them? Luke reports four immediate things that they devote themselves to: the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. I would like the rest of this sermon to be interactive, so please get your typing fingers ready and let's find this rhythm together. I will talk briefly about each one of these four, one at a time. While I'm speaking, I want you to think about these questions. Whom do I personally know that embodies this? As I speak, what person comes to your mind that exemplifies exactly what I am saying? It could be someone from this congregation, past or present, doesn't have to be, can be someone outside of this church. As I'm preaching, you multitaskers, just go ahead and type. Don't wait up for me anytime during my sermon, that section of the sermon, you can go ahead and type. Those of you who need a moment of quiet to think, I will pause at the end of each section and give you some time. And if no one types anything at all, I will just pretend that you are thinking really hard about what you want to say, and I'll leave it at that. Does that make sense? Good. Let's go. First, devotion to the apostles' teachings. If the 3,000 new believers were going to become disciples, they needed instruction in the Word of God. They would have to study what Jesus himself had taught, and who better to learn from, hopefully, than Jesus' apprentices, the very persons who had walked with him, listened to him, watched him turn a snack into a feast, cried out to him as he walked on water, were witnesses to his resurrection. After Peter's Pentecost sermon, the people would listen to the apostles teach what Jesus and his life meant in light of that resurrection. The church would consider the applications of it so that they could continue in their faithfulness to their purpose. This congregation has been immensely blessed by gifted teachers of all ages and genders for decades. They dwell in the scriptures themselves so as to encounter God there and then communicate what God's formative spirit may have to say to us all. When I think of teacher, one of the first in my mind is Martha Watson with her elementary age class. Her dedication to listening to God's word herself becomes evident not only in what she teaches to our children, but also in the steadfast love with which she does it. There is not a parent here that has not looked forward to when their kids were old enough to go learn from Miss Martha in her classroom, and not one who got a little sad when that same child aged out. Martha's own daughter, Stephanie Watson, is giftedly following suit. Who has been your teacher? Who speaks from the apostles' teachings and brings them front and center for you? Who have you heard educate on the scriptures in such a way that has opened up your eyes and your heart? I'm going to pause for a moment and read along with you as you write a few things. I'm just going to pause for a minute and look. Yes, you may keep them coming. Thank you. A second devotion for the immediate church, fellowship. Joe Sandifer, a month or two ago, told me over the phone that the thing she misses most about church right now is fellowship. It makes perfect sense, of course, what with the church is supposed to do. It's supposed to meet together, to have community with one another. If we don't see each other and sit with each other, what do we have and who are we? Fellowship is what the Spirit of God fashions here in Acts chapter 2. A new community centered on a person, Jesus, his life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. Henceforth, this community gathered. The church came together. They did not neglect the assembly. They understood the value in meeting regularly together with people shaped by the Spirit, even people who did not look or act like them. One of the greatest miracles of Pentecost was the wildly diverse assembly of people from every nation under heaven that began to meet together. They were a cohesive body of believers who loved each other, as we learn further on in chapter 2. They loved each other by selling excess possessions and giving the proceeds to persons in need. The church pulled their resources together so that everyone had everything in common. While some readers might just dismiss the church depicted here as a kind of over-exaggerated statement, we could think of it instead as a possibility of what could be. A fellowship of believers where the deepest hungers for God, for genuine community, and for fundamental needs were being met for all. Such is the work of the Spirit. One sign of authenticity and well-being of a congregation is clearly seen by the quality of relationships people have with each other. While we in this congregation are still on the journey toward the wild, diverse assembly of people from every nation under heaven, we do fellowship really well on our way there. I think here of Lincoln Roberts, who, when he and Deborah still lived in Houston, Lincoln would tell me, "I come to worship Jesus here, I get to see him in the faces of saints like Millie Borst and Bobby Huebner. How good is that? Who for you exemplifies fellowship and welcome and hospitality? Who do you see welcoming guests with expertise? Who do you know that creatively increases or quietly clarifies the definition of fellowship? Let's type those in now. I see that you already have been, so continue. And again, I will pause for a moment and read the things that you currently share. I'm trying to like a few of them on my computer next to me. I can't get to them all, but those are good. Thank you. Third, the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread that the first church devoted themselves to was more than fellowship, but definitely included it. Breaking bread alludes to the Lord's Supper, to the Lord's table. Any opportunity to share a loaf of bread became an opportunity to recognize the presence of Christ in each other. Any chance to pour wine into a glass became a chance to remember that Jesus' death brings us life. A community and a faith is nourished and preserved by the bread and the cup. Do this in remembrance of me, for them is more than a pinch of cracker or a thimble of juice. It is a profound and mysterious expression that Christ is here and among us, that we are His and He is ours. Before the pandemic shut things down, there were some days my schedule looked like this. Early morning coffee with Caleb McDaniel. Mid-morning coffee with Dorian Darrow, early lunch with Mary Odell, late lunch with Deborah Gibbs, cup of water with Delia Stafford, mid-afternoon coffee with Dee Pipes, monthly shepherd's dinner, 11 of us gathered around a table that evening. For an introvert like me, days like that wore me out, but left my heart full. Sharing a table does that. When each one of those people, in their own unique and beautiful way, would say, even if they did not say it, "This is the body of Christ broken for you." Who exhibits for you the beauty of breaking bread? Who have you witnessed that expresses the need to return to the table of God as often as possible, be it at church or in homes or at Starbucks? Who will not stop talking about the Lord's table? Type that in. I'm going to pause for a moment again. Fourth and final devotion of the immediate church, prayer. The church prays. The church devoted themselves to prayer, to communing with God, to sitting with God, to listening to God. The first church sought to pray, and their prayers availed much. Walls were shaken, prison doors were opened, pathways closed, and others were open. Decisions were discerned, visions given. The church prayed. Since the Spirit of God operates deep within us, so much so that we cannot always locate the Spirit's presence, prayer becomes the act where we sit still long enough to find it, or better yet, to let the Spirit find us. While all persons can pray, there are certain people among us who seem to pray at another level, if there is such a thing. Our sister Mercy Mbani is that person in my mind who prays like she means it, who whispers prayers right into the ear of God, who whispers right back to her. There is devotion in her prayers, not only the persistence kind, but also devotion of love and worship. She helps lead the Sunday morning prayer team, and I am convinced beyond all measure that the Spirit of God has, is, and will result in availing much from all those prayers emanating from that room. What about you? Who's taught you to pray? Who prays for you? Who has given you an expanded understanding of what prayer is? Again, I'm going to pause for a moment. Apostles' teachings, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer. Pillars of the church. Pillars of any church. Pillars of this church. We named names for the last 15 minutes. The truth of the matter is that the church needs each of us to follow suit. We need you to aspire to live in such a way that your own name will be mentioned as well. In the coming church, we need teachers and not just Sunday morning Bible class teachers, although that's a need. We need people who will devote themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the teachings of Jesus, people who will enlighten us about what he said about the kingdom of God and about welcoming the stranger, about racism and supremacy, about the last being first. In the coming church, we need people devoted to fellowship. We need your gifts of imaginative hospitality and diversity in leadership. Whenever the church gets to safely gather in person again, we need your physical presence. In the coming church, we need you to show us what bread and juice mean. We need persons that see sandwiches and a Coke as ripe opportunities for breaking bread. We need you to eat and drink with joy and thanksgiving and hope. And in the coming church, we need you to pray. You don't have to wait for whatever the coming church means or looks like. We need people to pray right now. We need you to slow down, to stop, and to listen. We need walls broken down, rooms shaken, visions given. So, church, pray. Speaking of prayer, last week I mentioned that we will pray our way through Acts, since Acts does the same. This week I asked Stanley Gay to write out a prayer that I could read before you on before Facebook Live. Before I read it, I want to point out Stanley's heart, the one that we all know and love. Picture him as I read his conversational prayer, his cadence and his manner. So here's Stanley's prayer for us this morning. In the world of perils and uncertainty, if you listen to the television, radio reports, or a conversation between two people, the world can be a scary place. And if you're a very young child, it can be a very scary place. Case in point, I witnessed three different little girls during the protest marches that were so overwhelmed and scared that each had a question for their respective police chiefs. Downtown on the steps of the police headquarters of Houston, one little girl asked Police Chief Acevedo if he was going to shoot her. And the chief hugged her and said, "No." And the other two in different cities asked similar questions, and both times each chief exhibited the same emotions, hugged them, and said no. Seeing all three police chiefs basically showing the same kind of compassion for these three little girls got me thinking, what if all of us displayed what those police chiefs did? How less scary would this world be for those three little girls and the other young children in our world? Watching all that reminded me of something I learned a long time ago. It reminded me of Matthew 18:3, which says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And I was like, yes, that's it. So I'm asking all of us to listen that we exhibit those traits when we are out and about. No, I'm not saying to go up to a stranger and shake their hands or anything what those police chiefs did, but just to show some or a little compassion to others. I was at a pharmacy and this guy didn't have enough money for his meds, so I made up the difference for him. That's the type of compassion I mean. Because a little compassion goes a long way. Thank you, guys. And together, we say or we type, Amen. I invite you now to turn to the table with that bread and the cup before you, if you have it. And eat with whomever you're with. If you are just by yourself, know that we are all with you in spirit, too. So eat, drink, and remember with joy the Christ who is our life. Let's do that now for a few moments.
Forever may my heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Light of the world, forever reign. From the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea, from the heights of the heavens,
your name be praised.
From the hearts of the weak, from the shouts of the strong, from the lips of all people,
this song we raise, Lord. The endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord Most High. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord Most High, be magnified.
From the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea, from the heights of the heavens, your name be praised.
From the hearts of the weak, from the shouts of the strong, from the lips of all people,
this song we raise, Lord. Throughout the endless ages,
you will be crowned with praise.
I just posted Stanley's prayer right there. You can use that this week if you would like. Stanley, thanks for doing that. Thank you. Reminder about offering. Offering is definitely part of our discipleship process. We give because we ourselves have been given. So now is a great time to remind you that you can give online. You can also continue to mail in your offering to our church office, and we'll take care of it that way as well. So thank you for your perseverance in that regard. I had a phone call with Jessica Vaughn earlier this week, talking about how volunteers, for the most part, are not allowed into the hospital systems anymore, at least right now. And there is a lack of certain supplies, like shampoo and conditioners and maybe some other things. She is going to get me that information specifically about ways that this congregation can help fill that gap a little bit. And we'll post it to our Facebook page and in our newsletter this week. Just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Well, good to be with you at all. I know I preached a little bit longer today, but this interaction has been great. It's been a lot of fun thinking about many of you and seeing your names come across, both past and present. What a gift today's service has been. I miss you all. I love you all, and continue to pray for you during this time. As we close, I want to read from the end of Acts chapter 2. You are welcome to follow along if you'd like. This is starting in verse 42. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May it be so again. Peace be with you. Have a great week.